Welcome to the program, analyst for the NHL on Sportsnet, Doug McLean, everybody. Hi, Doug.
How you doing?
Not bad. Better than Todd McLellan.
Well, there's nothing better than, as a general manager, to head into the trade deadline saying that, you know, maybe we better get rid of a bunch of players. really fires you up for the week. But it was pretty good. Peter was on yesterday for LA talking at noon. He had a press conference saying, you know, the sky's not falling in here. We're really, really close to being a contender. Things look positive. It's going to turn around. We can turn this around fairly quickly. Feel good about it. Then the coach after the game says they should be embarrassed and they're going to have to get rid of a bunch of players. So it just shows you the emotional aspect of the game from the coaching perspective to the general manager perspective. And it never ends. And, you know, how one game can change the vibe of an organization and a coach. Tortorella's a genius at doing this. Mm-hmm. Now it's good he's talking about the coach's challenge versus talking about players on his team. So that's a positive for JD.
Doug, what does that do for other general managers in the league who are looking to make some improvements and see some assets that Edmonton might have? And then Todd comes out and says what he said yesterday, and rightfully so, he was pissed. But it certainly doesn't improve your prospects of maximizing some of your pieces, does it?
Doesn't, but you still, when you're the GM, you still have to say, okay, this is what I value this player at. This is what I've got to get close to, or I'm not going to move him. I mean, when you consider what he's up against, you know, a couple of guys that he would like to move, Justin Schultz, who came in as one of the high-profile young free agent signings a number of years ago, has really, really struggled. I mean, that's an understatement. Defensively in particular, last night he was abysmal. That's one guy they would like to move out of there. Well, the chances of getting any value or even moving him is really hard, and it's frustrating. And then you look at a guy like Jordan Eberle, who I think is probably the guy they would like to move of their young group, of their core group that they've been so adamant about building the Stanley Cup winner around. And we're all like that. You know, when we have these first-round picks, you're adamant that they're going to become players. You're adamant that you made the right pick, that you're going to get it going. I mean, Yakupov, they'd love to move, but they're not going to get any value. So they might as well sit on him and hope that he plays with next year, plays with McDavid, and then you can turn him into something if McDavid can prop him up. But Eberle's been propped up by McDavid, especially since the return. The challenge that he's got is, I think he signed through 2019 or 20, and he's making $6 million a year. So those are challenges for Peter to move, make those type moves. Now, I know Boston would love to get an Eberle to fit in with a Krejci or a Bergeron, and that might be a fit, but those are tough deals to make. So if Boston can move an Erickson out, and they can move Erickson easily enough, and maybe they can make a deal and have an Eberle coming in under contract, that might be a fit.
Doug, should the people in Edmonton be a little concerned if, in fact, Chiarelli's going to make a blockbuster deal for a young player? We all know how the Tyler Seguin trade blew up in his face. Do you have complete faith in Chiarelli to make this deal again?
Well, it shows what happens when you've won a Stanley Cup. You know, I watched Hartley last night. I watched Crawford. Guys that have won Stanley Cups as coaches continually get second, third, fourth, fifth chances to coach. GMs who have won a cup continually get great jobs, which is what it's all about. If you win, people want you. So he's won a cup. The Seguin deal, he would like never to hear about again and never talk about again and like it to go away. And I can't blame him, but those things happen. You know, you'd say I like Peter. I think he's a pretty good GM. I think that, you know, those mistakes happen, and he'd be cognizant of that every time he's making a move. If he's talking about moving a young player, he is thinking Seguin, Seguin, Seguin. So you would think that it's a valuable lesson. But, you know, to me, he's got to move one or two of those guys. He's got to find a way. This defense is so bad that he's got to make a move. When Sakara or I don't even know how to pronounce his name, and he's their best guy. That when hockey, of course, I'm not very good with pronouncing names anyway. But when a hockey guy can't pronounce your best defenseman's name,
yeah,
what's that tell you?
It's Andre Sekera.
Yeah. Well, when I can't pronounce his name, what's that tell you? Either I'm really dumb or he's not that visible. His name is not called out that often when I'm doing games. And what's that tell you? Hey. If you're never around the puck, I don't want you on my team.
Speaking of not being able to pronounce names, getting there with the Toronto Maple Leafs, too. I mean, come trade deadline, six UFAs still to go. Hearing stories about possibly moving Nazem Kadri. A lot of people think that's ridiculous. Don Cherry was on the program this last week, said the same thing. What do you think this group looks like on Monday, Doug?
The Marlies.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they said they were going to tear it down a year ago. Give them credit. They're doing it. They're trying to move everybody they possibly can package and get out of here. I love the Pollock deal that they found the guy in Doug Wilson who's so desperate to get in the playoffs and win a round to save his job and to keep his team going in the right direction, keep his franchise going, that they were able to get 2 seconds for he and Spall. And I know they had to take the Torres money, but you know, when you get 2 seconds for those two guys, that's a good move. So applaud them for that. And I think it's really good that they're cleaning it out, getting rid of things. The only thing I caution is it's a lot easier to tear it down than it is to build it up and to find the right players and put them in. I mean, next year is going to be every bit as bad or ugly as this year, in my opinion. I mean, they're going to have some younger players, but it could get real ugly. So it'll, you know, they're, but hey, at least they're tearing it down. Now it's going to be fun to watch them build it up.
Doug, can they take on a lot of bad contracts this deadline to get those assets? Because if they're looking ahead to Steven Stamkos, they can't really do that, can they?
No, and they can only take on bad contracts. Really, the only way you can take bad contracts on, and they're really cognizant. So they took on $5 million of bad contracts with the Ottawa deal, but they only go for 2 years. So if you're going to take a bad contract, it's got to be maybe for the rest of this year. You can't, or even to the end of next year. But as you move into your rebuild, you've got to be careful about what you're taking. First of all, you only can allow to have 50 contracts. So you got to be careful on the number of contracts you have. Mm-hmm. And secondly, the more bad contracts you have, the tougher it makes to make the big deals that you want to make. I mean, they can take a little bit more, but with taking on what they've taken on in the Ottawa deal, not a great way to be.
Hey, I wanted to ask you a question. And I know I've harped on this guy for a long time, and I don't know if this is just the way Lou does business, but where is Joffrey Leupel? He's not with the team. He didn't practice with the team. Where is he?
I think he and Robidaux are vacationing in the same place.
Purgatory?
I don't know where it is, but it's someplace. And it gets to a point that, you know, guys seem to, once in a while, disappear, you know? And it's like management said, I think maybe you should just go away. I don't know what's happened to Leupel. I mean, He's the challenging deal to move at what he's at. I mean, I remember saying it when Brian Burke acquired him in the Beauchemin deal that he probably had to take Leupel. People thought I was nuts when I said it. I believed it then, and I still believe it that he did. And then they propped him up, and he looked like he was going to be a bit of a player for a week or two.
Yeah,
I don't know where he's disappeared to. Is he got? He's his body is falling apart on him. I suspect it's health. I suspect it's, I'm not sure what else it might be.
Off ice?
I said I'm not sure what else it might be.
Okay. Well, then he's not on the ice, so just say he's off the ice.
On the ice. Yeah. It's got to be he's off the ice. Yeah. Something. I'm not sure what it would be, but right. I know he's not around, and I heard that a week or so ago.
It's just a weird, weird thing. It's not something we've encountered here. There's usually some kind of explanation. I don't imagine we'll get one
Lou,
soon.
Like I know him, if he tells you to go away,
yeah,
you go away.
It scares me even.
He used to scare me when I was trying to make a trade with him.
Did he?
I always found him to be an unbelievable gentleman. And then I heard him doing a Lincoln commercial the other day.
Yeah.
And it almost made me think about going out and looking at a Lincoln. It was so persuasive. Yeah. I'd like to have one of those big 1996 town cars.
He'll figure it out
you
for know, you.
Did you read the book, The Lincoln Lawyer?
No.
No. Okay. He had a big deal. It was like his office, big Lincoln town car.
Didn't know that.
Anyway, Lou does the Lincoln commercial, so I thought it was pretty cool.